Blog Talk Radio.
Today. We need your help, so don't you go away. This is the voice of MPH Radio on July the 1st, 2023. That's right. We're going to try to wake up everybody. We welcome you to another program on MPH Radio. Our theme today will be a message to the African community in the U.S. This message comes from Brother Frank Jones, and we would encourage everybody who have not seen his videos to please go to YouTube and view it. He has some interesting work, and one of the things we do at MPH, We try to spread our history and share our culture with the world. So that's our theme tonight, along with, we hope to have a robust discussion on the recent decision Supreme Court in terms of striking down affirmative action as relates to the universities. They no longer have to use race as a criteria for admission. We'd like to hear your thoughts on those things and more, so stay tuned. Continue to stay with us, and we will get to the theme and that particular subject matter a little later on. But like always, you know, MPH Radio, we'd like to give you something to think about, and that something to think about, we're going to talk about this concept of freedom. What is freedom? Freedom is something that's thought about, talked about, and millions and millions and millions and millions of people die over. And I think it would be a wise thing for us to get a better understanding of what freedom is. So what we're going to do right now is just give you a general definition for something to think about as we think about this concept of freedom. And that is freedom is having the ability and means to control those necessities for life. That's right, having the ability and means to control those necessities for life. Now, how does that concept of freedom fit to you? Think about it, and while you think about it, we're going to do a quick commercial break with music with a message. And when we come back, we're going to do that this week, MPH Black Mini Facts with Susie, followed by a message from Brother Alex to the community. This is MPH Radio. That's right. Find your strength in the people, in your spirituality, in your experiences, in all those things that make you function positively. Find that strength and use it as a means to make humanity better. We welcome you back to MPH Radio. On our break, we said when we come back, we would like to encourage you to get out a piece of paper and a pen or pencil. And you might want to jot down some of your history. We're going to start off with our sister Susan with MPH Black Mini Facts. She'll share with you for this week, Black Mini Facts on the 25th of June to the 30th, some historical significance of the contributions and the history and the struggle of our people and our communities. Susan, we'd like to bring you in on the 1st of July, 2023. And what Black Mini Facts you have for us for this program, Sister Susie?
Good evening. The Black Mini Facts today is coming out of the PRSP calendar of 2021. And first, we're going to start on the 25th, where we had Mozambique wrestle political independence from feudal Portuguese colonialism in 1975. On the 26th, we had South African Freedom Day declared in 1955, a memorial to the determination of the South African people to carry on the struggle against racism, exploitation, and oppression. On the 27th, we had Paul Lawrence Dunbar, African poet, was born in 1872. The 28th, we had Malcolm X founded second branch of Organization of Afro-American Unity in 1964. And on the 29th, we had two events. We had one with Kwame Ture. Stokely Carmichael was born in Trinidad in 1941. And the second one is the National Black United Front was founded in 1980. And the last one for the 30th of this month is Congo Independence Day declared in 1960. I've just given you a few Black mini facts from the PRSP calendar of 2021.
And of course, though, for the month of June, we're now in the month of July. Thank you, Susie. Next, what we're going to do, like always, we're going to go to our brother Alex. And you know, at this time of year, there's a celebration which they call the 4th of July Day. And soon, many of us may participate in it. But we should be aware of the history of these kind of activities and institutions. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to go to Brother Alex, and we're going to let him kick some ballistics on the history of the 4th of July. And Brother Alex, the mic is yours.
Well, again, I appreciate it because Mr. Lee and being on the radio today, because we are looking upon the shadow of the 4th of July. And there's so much turmoil going on in the country and everything, but I don't want to excuse the fact that regardless how I feel right now at this moment about what's going on, I do want to, again, thank you for bringing this program forward and all this knowledge that we are going to devour to the listeners today, because this is a truly appreciation, you know, from my heart to the listeners today. I address the holiday, July 4th, as Nat Turner, Frederick Douglass, Malcolm X, Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., Adam Clayton Powell, and James Baldwin. They were believers in the ideas of equality, freedom, and justice for all, something our forefathers did not desire for some. In their lifetimes, none of them were assured of any hope by the government that boasts of the American dream. To even speak of fairness and equality in America by a descendant of a slave make millions of European Americans uneasy today. Why does even the mention of the word reparations burn on these European American hearts like the great wildfires of the Western United States that burn out of control every year. Have you gone mad? Some have asked. Why should the ancestors, these descendants who were kidnapped and bound into slavery with every type of atrocity they committed against them, think that they should enjoy what the American government has paid to others? Remember, reparations have been paid to other races and citizens for centuries. Even the cruelest owners were well paid just for freeing their slaves. The descendants of African and Caribbean slaves have suffered for more than 600 years at the expense of the colonialism of the Americas. Reparations seem to leave a bad taste in the mouths of politicians who avoid the issue when it comes to the descendants of slaves. When others asked, they did receive. The surviving Japanese Americans received an apology by President Ronald Reagan and were paid reparations by the Civil Liberties Act of 1988 of over $20,000 each in cash and other benefits for their internment in concentration camps. They had prior received compensation by the Evacuation Act of July 2, 1948, which paid over 1,550 claims and benefits. Congress simply stated they paid the Japanese Americans for being rounded up without adequate security reasons, which in turn was largely motivated by the racial prejudice, wartime hysteria, and a failure of political leadership. The Compensation Acts acknowledged that the physical and emotional damage and internees had suffered, including the missed education and job opportunity training, could never be fully compensated. The victims of this internment said it gave them a wonderful feeling that America owned up to its fears of disloyalty to the U.S., and we are now made whole again as U.S. citizens. More than half were still alive to receive the compensation, and they used it to rebuild their economy and lifestyle. The Native Americans, in comparison, received less than $2,000 each in reparations and never had direct control of those funds, as the government officials put the money in trust and managed and distributed them as they pleased. The Native Americans have lost control of all their lands and much of their culture to the invading Europeans. Almost every treaty has been broken or ignored by the U.S. The Supreme Court and numerous presidents have continually turned their backs on African Americans. The government rebuffs many claims of how they have been mistreated. Do they need a history lesson? Africans were kidnapped, bounded in chains, and packed into the bowels of ships. The men and the women were stripped and raped before their family members, and then humiliated by standing naked in front of strangers who sought to buy them. These strangers mistreated them further by not paying the wages to work from the sun up to the sun down. Families were torn apart, and those who were sold together were forced to have sex with the owner, the overseer, visitors to the plantation, even their own mothers, sons, daughters, and whatever animal or beast the owner could imagine them being with. The constant beatings and whippings broke many slaves while others gave up and died. The shootings, hangings, burning at the stake of a slave meant nothing to an owner intent on showing how barbaric he could be to install fear in the new arrivals. The few that escaped lived in fear of capture by the slave patrols or free blacks who may turn them in for a small bounty or to appease their prior owners. Education was often feared to be taught to the slave because the use of communication may cause an insurrection against their unlawful imprisonment. Even the children that came from the raping of the slave women by their master was not schooled. but often so, because the wife of the owner hated the offspring of the husband. The churches of the world turned their backs and became cold to the suffering of the slaves. Many religious leaders pursued the justification of the mistreatment of the slaves and reinforced the lies that Europeans should imprison and confiscate the possessions and lands of the slaves as they saw fit. These leaders believed that somehow to do so, the loss of the ability to come to America freely without such emotional distress and physical brutality left the slaves at a disadvantage to pursue their own opportunities in life. The slave was beaten when moving too slow, working too fast, speaking first, or even looking his owner in the face. Total submission to the owner was the slave, and he or she had no choice but to accept, to obey, escape, or be killed. This was the American nightmare lived in fear by the slave as the European Americans widely celebrated around him every 4th of July. It is preposterous that any may ask why their descendants don't deserve the most from the government that supported the criminal objectives of the slave owners and those who stood silent and did nothing for centuries as these atrocities were being committed. I understand that no amount of money or remorse would erase this stain from U.S. history, but trying to work out fair compensation for the slaves' descendants and reparations would be a step in the right direction. So as far as this 4th of July day, the first African-American men and women were brought to the coastal shores of the British colony called America today in shackles and chains. They were whipped, beaten, and degraded into working for their white owners of European descent. They were brought here because the Native Americans of the North and South continents would not be subject to hard field work and slavery. Once captured, the Native indigenous person would refuse to do it and often was shot or hung. They would often run away from the harsh treatment and conditions of the plantation life, and searching for them was useless, as they knew the land better than the invaders from Europe. The Native Americans combined their forces and made raids on the white settlements. Many battles were fought, killing many whites. The natives fought the white intruders who made war against them until several peace treaties were made. In 1776, the white men of the 13 colonies, along with thousands of Negroes, free and in bondage, aided the overthrow of British rule and established the United States of America. These brave men of African heritage had given money, property, and their lives for freedom, justice, and the pursuit of happiness. What is being taught today in practice in American daily life is a shame, as Frederick Douglass spoke of in his July 4th address. African American leaders, such as Malcolm X, Dr. Martin Luther King, and Thurgood Marshall, have spoken out and reminded white America that we were left out intentionally by the rich slave-owning presidents and congressmen who denied minorities basic and common rights from diluting their white power and white privilege. Many years ago, my cousin, James Bumpty Richardson, gave me a book on the 4th of July Day speech by Frederick Douglass. And after reading it, I chose never, and I mean never, to celebrate the 4th of July again. I read about many of the false promises of emancipation made to the slaves and the treaties made with the Native Americans for their help in the War of Independence. There were so many things that Congress failed to do as promised. My cousin talked with me of these many things the history books left out. He encouraged me to find the truth hidden in front of my eyes, as I was only being schooled in half-truths in the public education system. That is when I started my own book collection on many subjects so I could be self-taught in the ancestral knowledge without a diluting of the facts. Celebrate until America lives out its true meaning, that all men are created equal, as Frederick Douglass declared so eloquently. As for this country to provide the freedom, liberty, justice, equality, and the pursuit of happiness to form the more perfect union that the original patriot died for. The real heroes should not be forgotten today. Those brave, free blacks, slaves, Native Americans, and Frenchmen that died while fighting together, believing that we were better united than divided. It is horrible that their descendants living here in America still fighting injustice and racism over 400 years later. The Native Americans have lost almost all their lands and constantly being victimized. What kind of country is this to be? So for what and for whom what do we celebrate? The institution of slavery, part of the American experiment and the American dream, became entrenched in the criminal behavior of the citizens in the new nation. For months and then years, the new country called America had a real opportunity to correct the wrongs of the British Empire and could have made a constitution that stood for all citizens. It chose not to and began implementing the greatest undertaking of white supremacy the world had ever seen as it attacked the Native American, imprisoned and placed in bondage millions of Africans. These Africans were taken from their homeland, South America, and from other territories, and then were committed the worst atrocities against them by these European colonialists for the wealth and prosperity of European citizens. Nat Turner preached freedom, and he never surrendered to false beliefs. He died with a rope of promised freedom around his neck. He lies not in peace or in celebration, but in the reality of U.S. history, that the country failed him as a human being with justified liberty. I am ashamed of this part of American history, as there is nothing in my heart to celebrate unless we make a change. Congress is being tested now not to turn back the pages of history and rewrite the bad past for a terrible future that may lie ahead. So celebrate if you can, or more lies to be told and spun. For me, it's just another day of work, and there is little to celebrate. And I thank you, family, for giving me this opportunity.
We thank you, Brother Alex, for your perspective, for your inspiration of trying to wake up our people and put them on a road where they can truly gain their true liberation. This message that you have heard to the community from Brother Alex is solely his expression and not necessarily that of NPA Radio, its affiliates, its members, but its expression in which we hope that you have learned something that will spark you from within, that will have you to think a little more critical on celebrating institutions that is not in your best interest, that doesn't represent the history and the struggle of your people. So, Brother Alex, well said, and we thank you for your message to the community. What we're going to do right now on MPH Radio, we're going to go to a station break with music with a message. After the music with a message, we're going to play a special message from Frank Jones to African people in the U.S., but we will also extend that to African people all over the world. Please listen in, and when we come back, we will have a critique of his message as it relates to our theme today, a message to the African community in the U.S. This is MPH Radio.
Choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you held your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers?
Hello, it's Franklin Jones again, the author of The Black Matrix. You know, I sincerely believe that the information that I'm trying to spread is the most shadow banned and deleted content on white media platforms, because it's the truth that we're not supposed to talk about. It's the truth that our oppressors don't want us to know. They want to keep our minds believing in things like biblical fairy tales and a silly slave syndrome myth. And they want to keep our minds in those directions, believing those things, because those things keep our understanding of our plight and condition flawed. If our understandings are flawed, then all liberating remedies that stem from those misunderstandings will also be flawed. That's why they want us to believe all those falsehoods. Usually people have a right to believe whatever they choose to believe. However, there's a profound exception to this rule when it comes to the oppressed. The oppressed must gain a clear, concise, and accurate understanding of their plight and condition in order to liberate themselves. Because if our understandings are flawed, then all liberating remedies that stem from those misunderstandings will also be flawed. By keeping us believing that our plight is connected to a Bible written by our most ungodliest enemies, that keeps our minds buried in a Bible, waiting on a fictional Jesus to come save us to the benefit of system white supremacy. By believing that our conditions will result of a silly slave syndrome, this keeps us believing that there's something inherently wrong with us, which also benefits the system of white supremacy. The truth of our plight and condition is directly connected to the white society's monopoly over information that we receive. Their greatest power over us is the fact that they create the narratives that we believe. And they distort those narratives to keep us thinking and behaving in ways that serves and benefits the white society. It's in fact truly how they mentally enslave us. And those of us who do not critically think never notices our mental chains. Case in point, many black people now insist to believe the version of slavery as taught by the white society that most of our enslaved ancestors were fairly purchased. Now, this is designed to make us view the white society's enslavement of us as being less immoral, and it shifts the blame of slavery more greatly upon Africans. And this also adds to the narrative that we are our own worst enemies. It was the wretchedness of our blackness that enslaved us because our own people sold us off. But critically think, during slavery, Africans had all the gold, all the diamonds, all the minerals, all the natural resources. And Western money had no value whatsoever in Africa. In fact, the West had nothing that Africans needed. So what then did the white society use to purchase the majority of the slaves? If you believe the majority of the slaves was sold away, how did they purchase those millions of Africans? And why wouldn't they exploit their weaponry advantage of guns and cannons to maximize their profit by stealing most of the Africans? Yes, there were Africans who participated in the slave trade. But the majority who did so, they realized they could not, they could not overcome the white society's weaponry advantage of guns and cannons. The white society got gunpowder from the Chinese and weaponized it, and they used that weapon, those weaponized weapons against the Africans. So there were Africans who said, okay, you leave our tribe alone and we will help you get the other Africans that we captured. And that's how the Africans' participation in the slave trade was. But we've been given a version that places the blame more greatly upon Africans. The white society constantly gives us misinformation that is designed to make us think in ways that serve the white society. In our schools, even now, today, we are taught nothing about our history prior to slavery. And the white society justifies it by saying that it's because we have no history prior to slavery, because we were illiterate and uncivilized. This makes us feel indebted to the white society for enslaving our ancestors. This makes us feel grateful for our enslavement. But the hidden reality is completely the opposite. In Africa, the oldest universities in Africa, the oldest encyclopedia, the oldest writings, the oldest mathematical tools, the oldest human prosthetics, the oldest man-made structures are in Africa. The oldest standing kingdom exists in Africa. Africans were the first to build in stone, the first to smelt metal. Africans civilized Europeans, including introducing the daily bat to Europeans. But see, most of us don't know this because we're given false narratives that are designed to manipulate us to think in ways that serve the white society. Regardless of how intelligent people are, if it's possible to control the information that are fed into their mind, it's entirely possible to control what they believe. The white society exploits their monopoly over information that black people receive to manipulate us to think in ways that benefit the white society. They deter us from even demanding our reparation that we're still owed. Okay? Now, we are owed reparation. After the Japanese were placed in internment camps, when they were released, they were given reparation. After slavery was abolished, the white enslavers were given reparation. After the Jewish Holocaust ended, the Jews were given reparation. The Germans were ordered to pay millions of dollars to them. And the UN and America also supports the Jewish. But no reparation went to black people. So they said, okay, how do they control us more? They have us believing, many of us believe that we are the dregs of the white society. They keep us believing that we commit most crimes. We are the large recipients of welfare. We are the largest ones on affirmative actions. Those are false narratives, but that makes us more compliant with white dominance over our lives. It utilizes the immense power that shame has upon the human mind to mentally enslave black people. The reality is this. Most crimes in the U.S. are committed by white people. During the administration of Barack Obama, he tried to have it, made it a law that all states had to provide crime by race. The Republicans stopped it. Now, right now, crime by race is we only get it from the feds. And when you look at the feds, you will see that most crimes are committed by whites. Now, why is it that the Republicans and all the other states refused to follow what Obama was saying? Obama wanted to create this law where we could see breakdown by race of who was committing crimes. And the white society said no. They said no because if the truth became known, then it would go against their narrative that black people commit most crimes. They marginalize our image, criminalize our image because it aids them. It creates the facility that aids maintain their white dominance. Most violent crimes in America are committed by Caucasians. Caucasians are also more likely than any other group to commit the acts of matricide and patricide. That's the killing of their parents. Caucasians are also more likely than any other race to kill a family member for financial gain. Caucasians are also more likely than other groups to engage in incest and pedophilia than any other groups. But we never hear these narratives. When people see Caucasians, you think of them as being more morally upright and black people being morally low and more deviant. That's because our society does not function based upon the reality or facts. It functions based upon the narratives. And the white society feeds false narratives into our society. There are black people in America who has never heard a single positive narrative about themselves. Because keeping us believing the fraudulent worst about ourselves is how you maintain dominance over people. You maintain dominance by keeping the people believe that we are the dregs of society. We don't know our true contributions. We don't know that most inventions that have revolutionized the world were either invented by a black person or were inspired by early mentioned by black people. Most black people don't know that without black people, we wouldn't have skyscrapers. We only have skyscrapers because African Americans invented the elevator, the air conditioning, and the central heating. We wouldn't have cell phones if it wasn't for the invention of a black person. We wouldn't have the camera on the cell phone or the speaker black on a cell phone if it wasn't for a black inventor. We wouldn't have the internet if it wasn't for Nigerian scientists who developed a supercomputer that allows us to go back and forth on large computers to communicate at the same time. Most people don't know this. We wouldn't have GPS if it was not for a black woman. People are totally clueless about true narratives. The white society keeps our narrative negative because it affects us. So by keeping our narratives negative and then marginalizing our media images and then having us call ourselves niggers, we're being conditioned to see ourselves through a fraudulent, marginalized identity that aids the white society in maintaining their social dominance over us. This is the truth of our plight and condition. They're using social sciences against us. Although we do not face the type of white racism that our grandparents experienced, we're still experiencing white racism. When the blatant tactics used in the past to maintain their dominance over black people became morally unacceptable and resulted in unprecedented unified black protests, they now hire social scientists. They have you thinking that our greatest threat are the skinheads. Their greatest threat is the KKK. No. Our greatest threat are the social scientists and the propagandists who works behind the scene unrelentingly manipulating our minds to think in ways that serve the white society. They marginalize our image. They criminalize our image to manufacture societal consent for their mistreatment of us. They use the rap industry to negatively steer our culture. They negatively steer our culture while making us believe we are steering ourselves. Think! Our race has become synonymous with vulgarity. Our music, we say derogatory words. Our women are saying derogatory words. Pictures and holes and F and this and screw and that. Because we don't control our media images. We don't control our music. The white oppressors does. They determine what goes on the airwaves. They control, and the our lyrics are supposed to always fit into certain narratives, narratives that serve the system of white supremacy. And these narratives shape society in ways that benefit the white society and exalt the white society and criminalize and marginalize black people. Through their monopoly over information, they condition millions of us to perceive ourselves through a false inferior identity. I went into schools talking to high schools, talking to students. I remember in high school, black students in the back of classes, man, come on, man, you know us niggas can't build rockets. You know us niggas. We have a perception of ourselves, and this perception of ourselves is a marginalized one, and it's continually being fed into our minds every day. Many of us know that we are learning more racially affirming facts from each other than we do in the school. But most of us don't understand that's a social science. Because in order for a dominant group to maintain their position of social dominance over a subordinate population, they must condition them to accept their subordinate status. And this is achieved by denying the subordinate group of racially affirming information about themselves. We are being denied racially affirming facts about ourselves because it conditions us to accept the white society's dominance over our lives. Social scientists describe the process as instilling a value system into the collective minds of black people that makes us more compliant with white dominance over our lives. Look, there's nothing normal about calling ourselves niggas and bitches. There's nothing normal about sagging our pants. There's nothing normal about any of this. But we've normalized it. And our problem is we don't have any true leaders anymore. So therefore, there's no voice speaking out against the negative social engineering of our culture. We don't have leaders anymore. Remember, after the assassination of Malcolm X and Dr. King, J. Edgar Hoover says the only time there will be another black messiah if we create them, if they create them. So now they handpick their leaders. And the way they are our leaders. And these leaders work for their white society. When they control who is our leaders by giving national platforms to only those that are willing to work with the white society, that are following the rules of the white society. When they find those who are truly speaking liberation, like I'm speaking to you now, they will never give me a national platform. My videos will never go viral because there is a deliberate effort to subdue true liberating information. But we must realize, we must recognize the truth of our plight and condition. We must do it. Every generation has its purpose. Ours is to wake up the freedom minds of our people. Brothers and sisters, it's time to start understanding we are being socially engineered through the white society's monopoly over information. They constantly give us negative information about ourselves and white exalting information about themselves. And this makes us, on a subconscious level, it makes many of us feel subservient towards whites. Think. Critically think. Have you noticed that every study results we hear favors whites over blacks? Do you not see how cartoonishly unrealistic it actually is? To have study results so one-sidedly favoring one group over another as we experience it favoring whites over us is absolutely ridiculous. It's fraudulent propaganda. Through repetition, it affects how we perceive ourselves. It affects how we perceive whites. It aids them in maintaining their social dominance. It's by design that many black people find it easier to yell at one of their own than to yell at a white person, to hit one of their own, to hit a white person. We are being socially engineered. It's happening through in the education we're taught, the media we watch, even the movies and TV shows we watch where we think we're just being entertained. We must start understanding social science. Everything I'm saying to you, black social scientists can confirm this, but they don't. They sit quiet because they have their good jobs, you know, their good jobs are well paid, and they don't talk about it. But everything I'm telling to you is a true social science. We are being manipulated to think in a way that serves to protect the system of white supremacy. The reason why many black people think favorably of whites and negatively of ourselves is because our collective aggressions have been shifted from the white society and redirected against ourselves. It's how the white society prevents us from unifying against the white society. Think about it. Every narrative that a black woman hears about a black man is negative, and they all come from white men. Every negative. They've in fact manipulated black women to believe that black men are running in droves to marry white women. This is how they demoralize black women and make black women resentful towards black men. But if you look at the statistic, you look at the U.S. Census, found that 86.5% of black men are married to black women. 90% of black men date black women. Only 7% of black men in America are married to white women. Only 7%. But you are functioning based upon the fraudulent narratives, the fraudulent propaganda, what the media shows you, because the media shapes our value. It shapes our perception of the world. And they distort our perception because keeping us believing negatively of ourselves is how they maintain their dominance. They condition us to believe that there's a shortage of black-on-black love when the majority of black people love each other. The census shows in America, 91% of black women are married to black men. Only 4% have white husbands. But when you see things in the media, you've been made to believe that we're running a drove to marry whites. See, the way you divide people is by instilling propaganda in their mind, telling them that they're most divided. They then start functioning based upon those narratives, thus making it true. This is called the prophecy of the method. You keep saying something and we make it true. It can even be used in the reverse. If you have a group of people who are very divided and you keep putting out propaganda that they're the most united, the most united, the most united, they will start functioning based upon a narrative. They'll start being more friendlier. People function based upon a narrative received about themselves. The white society keeps us believing that we're the most divided, we're the worst, we're our worst enemies. And it's how they control us. It's how they control us. We walk into a room, we see another black person, we mean mugging. Because they have conditioned us to perceive ourselves through a false identity that benefits themselves. Until you wake up to this reality, above a biblical fairy tale, a Bible written by our enemies will never set us free. A Bible brutally beaten into the minds of our ancestors will never provide our salvation. A Bible written by history's most ungodliest people is inherently disqualified from the true words of God. A Bible that condones slavery is disqualified from being the true words of God. Wake up and critically think. We have to start recognizing that the white society uses social sciences against us for maintaining their dominance over us. We must learn these social sciences and develop counter strategies against them. Their greatest power is their monopoly over our minds. They start brainwashing us from the time our minds are young during our early education development. And it continues from pre-K all the way to 12th grade. After we graduate, we're constantly being bombarded with propaganda in the movies, TV. We keep being told we're less than them, we're worse than them, and we're our own worst enemy. And we therefore need them to govern over our lives. They always tell us we're in a crisis. Black people are in some kind of crisis. We're trying to save black people. Even their narrative for being in Africa, they have many people believe that the reason why the Western society are so invested in Africa is because Africans can't govern themselves, and they're here trying to save the Africans. They're trying to save the pitiful Africans. When in reality, they're in Africa to protect the interests of Western society, because the Western society cannot survive 2 years without Africa's natural resources. Your cell phones and your laptops won't work without the minerals that comes from Africa. The white society is there, but they always create a narrative that exalts and exonerates themselves, that serves their interests. So you have that's why you have these poor white trash people saying, go back to Africa. They don't know the truth. The white masses are ignorant of the true social engineering of the ruling white elites. Our collective minds are shaped by a small group of people. That's why the ruling elites are so angry with the internet. because the internet allows different opinions, different narratives. Brothers and sisters, we must function based upon truth, and the truth of our planet condition is something that we've been conditioned to reject. But don't dispute facts you don't understand for lies you've been misled to believe, because doing so will keep you mentally enslaved by the white society. It's time to elevate our minds. It's time to start recognizing that there's a war being waged against us, a covert war being waged against us, and a war so effective and manipulate our minds so much that many of us are participating in the war. One love and peace.
We welcome you back to the MPH Radio. You was listening to Brother Franklin Jones as he sent a message to the African community in the U.S., but we will expand it to the African communities throughout the world. He touched upon many aspects of the importance of we must control our narratives. We must know and learn our history. We must stop falling for the okey-doke based upon how the European elite have presented our history, our contribution to humanity. In essence, if you listen to his message, it raised the question that we raised earlier on this program around this concept of freedom. We gave to you a definition of freedom, which stated, freedom is having the ability and means to control those things necessary for life. He talked about many things that our people are affected by, but we don't control it, even though we may create it. So what we want to do as we talk about this theme, a message to the African community, we can say throughout the world, not just limited to the U.S., is to invite you, based upon what you have heard, to give us a critique from Brother Franklin Jones' message, which you can view on YouTube and many documentaries that he has made. We encourage you to check out. So for the next few minutes or so, we dedicate this program in filling out one of the missing pages of messages given to our community. Will we heal? Will we heed the call? Brother Alex and listening audience, we would like to hear some of your critique from this message. The mic is now yours.
Well, thank you, Mr. Lee, for the comments you gave me earlier, because from my message to the community, there were a lot of points brought up by Mr. Jones. And that is where we start today, because we can't start from yesterday. We have to start from today and move forward, because we have seen the likeness of our Supreme Court. We have seen what our congressmen are willing and not willing to do. We see what our local and state leaders, how far they will go to put themselves on the line. But it all starts as one of the most important things, I think, as Mr. Jones pointed out, was the narrative. When you control the narrative of what's going on, what to be taught, how to be treated, whether this particular group of people can go here, eat here, sit here, or just even be here, then you get other people to believe your idea that for some reason, because you may have a better home or better lifestyle or anything that was, say, given to you and not really earned, but was given to you because of the wealth accumulated through the European ancestors. Wealth went all over the world. It just not came here to America. And then a lot of the immigrants and the business owners and bankers and everything that came to America, they also came from countries that benefited from slavery. So the world benefited from slavery. So you have to make sure that that narrative is around that you can make huge amounts of money off of disenfranchising others who are weaker than you. As long as you control the laws, you control the money, you control the gun and the ships, you control the infrastructure going into a country and all the financial and educational resources, then you stay in power. And you set the narrative that what you're doing is right, controlling others. So I think that was just wonderful points by him, and especially in education, because you're learning someone else's education. As most importantly, he said, our history was ignored, wasn't accepted, wasn't thought about, wasn't important enough. So your history, which is much longer than any other history, didn't count. And all the great things that you did and the society you have continued to do is looked down upon and not even cared, even though it's being benefited still by European Americans. So then we go to Black love. And what could be better than Black love? Mothers, sons, daughters, fathers, community, something we have forgotten now. You know, to love your grandmother, love your aunt. You know, not drinking beer and alcohol and smoking a joint, you know, with these family members, because they're supposed to be mentors. They're not supposed to be taking you out to the club, mama and daughter, and see whose dress can be worn the highest or whose blouse can be plunged the lowest. But they're supposed to be role models. Just as fathers are not supposed to be teaching their sons not to go to bed with as many women as possible and then be deadbeat dads when they have fathered children. So there's a lot of responsibility as far as the family unit we have gotten away from. And we had that before we got here in America. Yes, we're not moving to droves and interracial marriage and everything else, but the narrative, again, is out there. And as long as the narrative is there, we will seek out anyone. You know, love is not blind. Love doesn't see race. You know, love sees future, you know, building a home and hospitality and compassion for each other. But we have to be careful in how we choose our mates. We have to learn their history, just like the African families from tribe to tribe. They had to know who you were. You just weren't given away. No, not at all. You were a great commodity to the family, and they only wanted to see your best, to see your life transitioning to the best. And so we look into that. We also look at gangs and drugs, because that's a major threat in the Black community. When we look at the drug trade and how it was incorporated, you know, from the different factions of government and whatever, businesses or whoever cooperated in it, then we have to look at that it was a threat to that Black love, a threat to that Black education. And it proved a narrative to some that we were not good enough to be on the other side of the table, because we would be shooting each other over corners and over drug deals and anything that pertaining to colors, as gangs began to choose colors among themselves, not realizing that they are already one color. But they rather shoot it out over red and green and blue and yellow or whatever, and forget the innocent bystanders, the young children that may be in the way. So we were torn apart in that because of what? The narratives were forced that was easy money. You could get somewhere And you can become a member of the gang. You could have women and drugs and houses and cars and the videos and different things promoted, a lifestyle that wasn't true. It was envisioned. It was a narrative placed upon the people. And then the last thing, because I want to hear everybody else. I'm not here to talk by myself. But this narrative about wokeness, and you hear it every day, and it just blows my mind about wokeness. And it's one of those things that even most Democrats, almost 80%, about 40% of real Republicans, see woke in a positive light and define it as a term to be informed and educated and aware of social issues. And if we go back, because the term is actually derived from the African-American community, and it is to be alert to racial prejudice and discrimination, which has persisted in this country from the beginning. So I guess the far right don't want you to be woke. Not at all. Because if you were woke, then they would be in trouble. So they have to give woke, like many other things, a bad name and force a bad narrative on it and make us do things that we would never even imagine to do. But we do it, and we sell ourselves out to be accepted by another set of society that many will truly never accept you. And I hate that, you know, quite a few conservatives believe that they will be accepted into another society and may leave their own color, a race of blackness, African America, or whatever you want to do, that they can actually leave that skin color, that they can somehow take some mysterious bleaching cream, that they can drink some kind of drink, that they can pray some kind of prayer, that they can walk into the light, and instead of getting dark, that they can bleach themselves away from what they truly are. So I want to go ahead and turn the mic back to Ms. Lee, and I want to hear some things today because I know I'm going to hear some stuff I never heard before in my life. So I appreciate this, and I thank you again.
Okay, Brother Alex, we'll go to Susie. Susie, based on what you have heard, what critiques you like to make as relates to the message from Brother Franklin Jones? Susie.
Okay, from Mr. Jones, what I heard, I got a lot of information from him. But when you're talking about the narrative, I was just thinking about MPH, and one of our narratives is, in a small way, to gradually get people into a lot of our known history. And when you think about the fact that they are expanding books with the censorship, or the themes for race, history, sexual orientation, and gender. That's just one small area that we as a whole going to have to look at to change that narrative. But I appreciate MPH putting the information out there and giving us a chance to really, really think, because I think a lot of us really don't realize it's time for us to wake up and learn the liberating truth. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Susie. You listen to MPH Radio. We are discussing a narrative. We are discussing a special message from Brother Franklin Jones to the African community in the U.S. and we said throughout the world. He lists many points of our history and our realities that we seem to be blind to, and it's causing us to be dominated, to be controlled by, and to be totally disrespected as a result of not creating their own narratives, not knowing their own history, and creating a psychological warfare within themselves and against themselves based upon social scientists constructing societies in which people will behave against their own self-interest. There are so many things to be said, but right now, what we're going to do is we're going to open up our phone line at 818-337-0016. We'd like to hear your views and your comments on this particular discussion. And we'll go to the caller. Your last four numbers are 6057. 6057. Welcome to MPH Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me. I had several critiques of Mr. Jones's explanation of why we're oppressed and dominated. And I agree with a lot of the points he made. There were very good points. And a couple of examples I like to point out are in the area of religion and the presentation of history. And as he indicated correctly, Europeans control the presentation of information. So a lot of us do not have the information we need in order to make decisions based on our own interests. And, that goes, for the educational system, the religious systems a lot of us depend on, and even in our the presentation of our history. And in that area, we're not given the full picture. We're only told, the negative aspects of our history, not the history of our accomplishments. And it starts and often starts from the time the European slave trade commenced. And, we have a lot of history behind us that goes beyond that. As a matter of fact, about 3 million years worth of history. But a lot of that is not presented in a way that that we can understand. And therefore, because of the control of information, they control the narratives we hear, particularly about history and religion. And that affects our behavior and political viewpoints. And when you control the way the thoughts people have, that is a very powerful tool, because you don't have to worry about controlling their actions. Because engage in brainwashing, as Mr. Jones described it. And, it is correct that if you control the way a person thinks, you're not to worry about the actions. The actions will always coincide with the enemy's interests. And that's the dilemma we're faced with today. And those of us who know more have an obligation to teach that to the rest of our community to the best of our ability.
Thank you, Carla. We'll come back to you later. We'll continue to bring in Carla 4298. Carla 4298, your thoughts on the presentation from Brother Franklin Jones. 4298.
thank you, thank you, and greetings to the panelists there, Susie and Brother Alex and Brother Lee. My name is Robert Andrew Moses, and I've been in the struggle for scientific socialism since the moment I was introduced to Marxism in a government class back in my high school years, 1968. So, you know, I'm not new to this game of people problems, because that's what we're talking about, people problems. And ultimately, we're talking about class struggle, the haves and the have-nots, the educated and the uneducated, those who have information and who don't have information. Education means a lot to me. I was married and pregnant. We were at the University of New Mexico, and you know, a decision had to be made, and I was determined that we were going to get education that she would graduate and that I would graduate. And so we were pro-choice, and that's the road we took. And I have no regrets, because education is vital if you're going to survive in this society, if you're going to be self-determined, if you're going to proactively live out your life, happiness, pursuit of happiness, on your own terms, then you have to have education to do that, because there's so many people who have plans for you, who have work for you, who have even evil intents for the world. There are people who just have outright evil intents. Their will is evil. And so, you know, the brother has a lot of facts and information, but we need a solution. And I don't hear other than get woke, which is great. It's a consciousness thing, and I support all consciousness. I'm into Marxism, Leninism, Mao Zedong thought in terms of the politics and the government and what people need. And so the struggle has to be concrete in terms of what we objectively trying to accomplish. And so it should be reflected in our lives daily, the world we're trying to bring into being. And I don't know, I just think that Jesus is the answer for the world today. Let me just say that. Jesus is the answer for the world today. In terms of the Palestinian question, Jesus is the answer. He was an internationalist. He was a revolutionary, and he was for the Jews just assimilating, basically. But anyway, I'll leave it right there. Thank you for allowing me this minute. Thank you.
Thank you, caller for 298. Let me just make a couple of comments about Brother Jones' presentation, a message to the African community in the U.S. and throughout the world, just for giving people something to think about. My last caller stated that he didn't offer no solutions. I may differ with the perspective, because I think that he made it very clearly where he directed us towards those kind of obstacles or stumbling blocks that we need to focus on that will lead to or cut us down the road and will get us a lot more closer to our liberation and freedom. You know, one of the biggest points he made, and it's a point that we still have not resolved, is the point of controlling our own mind, being able to be critical and think for ourselves. As Brother Steve Biko once stated from the Black Consciousness Movement, the greatest weapon that they have on us, he said, the white man, European domination, or the capitalist class, is our mind. That's where power begins. Secretary Ray said power begins with conception. If you cannot conceive from the beginning of being free and acting as a free person, it'd be very difficult for you to arrive at your freedom. So it does begin with conception, and this is why creating narratives and understanding narratives is very important. He said something really interesting. I was just thinking how these narratives has a history of projection, or projecting things on other people will really reflect them. For example, if you look at the present world today and how Europe was able to develop and this particular ruling class came to existence, it makes you think the African people is dependent. We are dependent on them. This issue of dependency. We need someone to do for us. I find that very ironic because he made a statement and did we catch the statement and the profound statement. You and the capitalist class do not have access to the resources in Africa. For over 2 years, they will collapse. They could not exist. So who are really in a state of dependence? Is it Africa, the African people, or those who are exploiting and controlling and physically dominating our resources? We talk about the many discoveries and contributions Africans have made to world development. For example, he was just talking about the creation and ability to have to build skyscrapers and to have elevators. The building means to be able to communicate throughout the world with the resources come out Africa in order to have these cell phones and Africans creating these phones with cameras where you can view and see. You talk about many things that we go through on a daily basis, don't even think about or what we have contributed, but it makes you think other people have done this. And this is important because once you realize what the people have done and what the people have created, if they have created this before, they can do it again. So it knocks out this lack of motivation, the self-defeated attitude that we need someone to do for us, which I thought was real, real important. I mean, he raised many, many points. And those were some of the things I just wanted our listening audience to think about. We have had more people to join us. What we're going to do right now, we're going to take caller 1650, and this caller is going to be our guest later on in the program. But caller, if you have anything you want to say based upon this discussion, Reverend Brother Donnell Green, we'll let you speak right now, but we'll come back and formally introduce you, and we will have a discussion in terms of you and your work. Brother Reverend Donnell Green, the mic is yours.
Greetings in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good morning. Good evening, whatever you're hearing is, I'm just happy to be here. I will go back on mute, but I look forward to doing the show.
All right, thank you, my brother. Also, we have a caller that's been online. If they have anything they'd like to say in reference to the discussion, we'll bring in caller 6319. Welcome to MPH Radio.
Well, thank you. My name's Chris, and I'm the founder of a charity, and I'm one of Don's 300 here. I'm here to support your show. It's the first time I'm actually on the show, and I've been on for a few minutes here, but I'm definitely here, and, you know, if I can put into the conversation, I will. I'm just here getting started with you.
Okay, Chris, we'll get a chance to come back. We're having a discussion. We just finished playing the narrative by a statement that was presented online on YouTube that's very important as it relates to underserved communities. But in this case, particularly, we're talking about the African communities in the U.S. and throughout the world. He critiqued our present realities and talked about some of the things we need to overcome if we're going to create a just, fair, equal society for African people and all people. So here on Missing Pages of History, one of the things we have dedicated our lives to is to preserve the history of African people, their contributions, and to describe it throughout the world. So not only will African people know about them, about themselves and their self-worth, but also the rest of the world will know. People define you and treat you based upon their perception of you. And many times your perception of something is based upon your history of something. So we want to correct these kind of narratives, falsehoods that has been put out on African people, so that we can get a better and a more equitable world where we are treated with respect fairly and fairly. So that's what we are discussing. One of the points he also made in his presentation, I see that's going on, and it's a question about division and dividing the African communities and people. It's a question around race, and it's a question around social relationships. You know, if you look at TV today and the magazines and all these movies, there is a perception, for some reason or other, that now African men has a tendency to want to gravitate towards women outside of their biological race, or gravitate, in this case, more so toward European women as a standard of beauty, as a standard of betterment, and it's like an attack against African women, saying they are not worthy of them. While at the same time, the same play is being played against African men, when they are showing African women that African men want European women and disregard their value and their beauty.
You know, I can pour into what you were saying here, brother. I didn't mean to cut you off. But, you know, when a man doesn't think that a woman, you know, is good enough, that man, it's not that they're saying that black woman's not good enough for them. The thing is that black woman ain't going to put up with what that white woman did. And because there's too many strong, powerful black women in this world, and they're getting stronger every day, and they don't really put up with the BS that comes along with right now with systemic society, on, you know, the way they live their life, that what kind of car do you drive, what's your shoes, what kind of underwear are you wearing. If everything's designer, you know, we know what kind of thought process you have. It's about me. It's not about we. Now, when you come down to equality, what you started addressing in the very beginning, that was what caught me. Because I'm the founder of Hope. Okay? Now, I found it, but I've been trying to find everyone else. So the thing is hope is humans on planet Earth. And there is peace on Earth. It's in the palm of your hand. And if you look at the palm of your hand, anywhere you are on this planet, it's pink. It does not matter what color the other side is. And if you use the pink side of your hand, you can help people. You can help yourself. You can save people. You can save yourself. But if you live to the other side of your hand, you can't help anyone. And it definitely won't help you. Because you can't help me if I'm falling. You'd do nothing but push me down. That's not, it's what we need to look at, that we are so integrated throughout the world anymore that it's not about the European and the African and the Mexican and the Asian. It doesn't matter. Right now, what matters is the person that's being born, and not what color they are, but what they are. They're a creator. If we sit and look and just want to talk about what has happened in the past, we'll never be able to change the future because we're living in the past. But if you think about, if you're going to give life to something, make it, yes, sir?
Chris, let me stop you for a second, if you will. Let me respond to one, two of your points, and then I'll let other people weigh in. But we will respectfully, we listen to your point. And that may be your understanding, maybe your narrative, but this is the purpose of the show. I think all people have the right to define their own narrative, their own history. Now, if we don't allow and look at the past as an important point to really to understand the present, then those who are at a disadvantage in the past will never be able to get out their inferior position. Now, I agree with the brother, Chris. The images that the media put out in terms of social relationship, it does have an impact on our young kids, on our youth, on relationships, or how we view each other. And this question that all of these men are now is moving over to races outside of their race, that's a false impression they're giving, and it does have an impact, it does have an impact on our people. That's a reality. Now, whether or not we want to acknowledge that, that's another issue, but it's not the issue. The issue is it does exist and does have impact. We the only ones are told to don't look at the past. Would you ever make that statement to a so-called, quote-unquote, Jewish community and tell them forget about the past, don't look at their past, and think there will not be no consequences? Why is that? You can say that to other groups who are in a position or inferiority, but you will never say that to certain groups who have a position of power and wealth. Your response
will
now open up to the rest of my callers. Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, I agree 100% with you. We do not need to forget the past. We need to embrace it. We don't need to live it. And that's the problem. We need to realize we're the human race. We're human beings, but we're not all being human. But we could. And the thing is the babies that are born are the perfect humans. And they're not tainted till we teach them. And they learn what they see. So we need to be better. But our children, by showing them that they don't have to look at each other individually, that they're different, because they're here for each other. And it will make a better society. And in the hatred that gets caused when people get told things or see things. And, we need to really just embrace what every culture is and know that we don't want, that's not heaven on earth, that's not peace on earth, to me, that's hell on earth. You know, I was born to this negativity. It was happening before I was born. But it's all the lives that are being born. Do we continue it to start over? Because we do the instant we teach them that they are to hate one another. They are not. They are to realize that those people were stupid back then, the ignorance of them, and the greed over the need of them. You know, when you look at all of that, and that's where you can start talking about being equal, because it doesn't matter. If you're in a wheelchair, you matter. You matter as much as the next. And I want, you know, generational wealth to continue on and on and on. But the thing is, see, this land was taken before we ever even had a chance to get it. Well, me being a 501c3 charity, I don't have to pay taxes. I can also partner with anybody I want. So I decided to partner with every child on earth from birth. They just need to know it. And when they scream, listen, might even knock down all your houses that you're living in. But I got somebody just opened the door and got the dog barking, so thanks.
We'd like to thank Brother Chris for his comments and his interaction with today's program. And what we're going to do, we're going to go back and bring other folks in. Y'all just heard a little discourse between the host and Brother Chris. And we talked about the message that Brother Franklin Jones left. I'll come back to you, Brother Alex, and just ask you, based upon what you heard, are there anything you'd like to add to this discussion?
Well, yes, and I thank you for giving an opportunity for each one to voice his own opinion. or to try and force his own narratives, you know, about situations, because we do live in a world of hope and fantasy and ideas that are off the norm, put it that way. And we live in that world because, you know, we're at a time that many want to see and ignore what has happened in the past. Because even if we went to the history of the Bible, then we find out, hey, and use it every Sunday as we go to church. We talk about the history of the Bible. And that moves us into our daily life of how we treat each other and respond. And individuals today do not keep up with the commands of the Bible as they mistreat each other, as greed and lust and everything is going on. That was from the beginning of history. So have we learned anything, you know, from it while we keep repeating the same mistakes? No, it's not because of what we teach our children from the moment they're born. I have four children educated, and they have opened their eyes to the world, and they have wonderful jobs. But that came from hard work, determination, and believing in themselves and knowing who they were, as I constantly talk to them, where we came from and where we need to go. We can't sit back and let someone say, hey, racism is all over. There's nothing to see here, nothing to say there. Ignoring the problem. It's like ignoring a pain in your stomach, a pain in your head. Cancer grows, takes people out. We have to watch the signs of society to move us forward before we become extinct. As laws are being turned against us as we head back to the 1800s of slave codes and Jim Crow laws, because that seems to be the direction we're heading in from the Supreme Court. So as we head back that way, shouldn't we know how to avoid those pitfalls? We're not going to build a better America. We're not going to build a better world on hope. It's going to take a whole lot more than hope. Yes, we have to work together. We have to organize. And we have to be brilliant of people who tell us that it's not right to pick ourselves from the dirt that we've been pushed down to, that we are able to stand taller and just as high among any other. Because our ancestors were robbed. And it's a hard thing for so many people to admit that you were robbed. You were raped. You were beaten. You were whipped. You were abused every kind of way possible. And I don't teach my children that in hate. I never have, never would. And I wouldn't teach no one in hatred of that, but I would teach them in knowledge of that so that they never experience that in their lifetime or their children, because it can easily come back. As we see the laws are being reversed in this country, it can easily return. So this fight for justice and freedom and this fight for information and history is going to go on for a long time. But do not fall, as Mr. Lee said earlier, for the okey-doke, because there's plenty of it out there. And I turn it back to you.
Okay, we'll go to a call at 6057. One of the things I would like to say is that in Brother Jones' presentation, he mentioned something that's very key. Because when you deal with the powerful and the elite, you never see them. They always work behind the scenes. And he stated that it's not the fear of the Ku Klux Klan, the Klansmen, and the racists we should be more conscious of or fearful, but we should be fearful of the social scientists. He talked about this concept of social engineering, how these things are created so human beings can act and think like this. For example, I was in a class one day talking to one of my professors, and he majored in urban studies, and he was sharing with me the process of how you can be trained, how you can be taught how to design cities that will create crime and encourage crime. And he said many of the communities that we live in, he was showing them ways how they design it so crime would happen. So what I'm saying to you come about, things happen not because they just happen, but there's always something behind it that allow it to be to take place. But to call 6057 based on what you heard, this question of social engineering, what do you have to say about the impact and importance of social engineering and why we must better understand those individuals who play that role? Call it 6057.
Yes. I would say social engineering plays a very important role. As a matter of fact, it's a driving force behind the way we behave toward each other and toward other ethnic groups outside of ourselves. So I think social engineering plays a very important influence in terms of the way we interact. And this is due to the ability of the European bourgeoisie to control information and how it's presented to us. And information, and this is critical because information can be presented in such a way that it will create a certain perception. For example, in terms of social relationships, there is a tendency in television and movies to show a lot of interracial couples, but the reality is that most that there isn't that kind of interaction among the masses of African people, as as was pointed out in the statistics. But that perception that there is can create problems in terms of people relating to one another, very real problems, because perception has a way of becoming reality sometimes when it's presented as if, that's the end thing to do, so to speak.
Caller 6057, I hate to interrupt you, but I want you to at least speak to this point. And I'd like to hear other people's point of views and think about it and write in and share with us your thoughts. I thought one of the critical points based upon what you just said was that how to have information, how to use it, how to impact people. He said Barack Obama during his administration wanted the federal government and all the states to start doing reporting on crimes that are made and document their color. Anytime a crime is committed, document what color that particular person was. And they voted against that. They said they would not do that. And while they would not do that, his conclusion was, objectively, when you're talking about trying to criminalize the people, African people inside are not criminals. If you can go statistically and objectively on who create most crime, he said that would show that Europeans create more crimes. They have a capacity and a tendency to kill their family members more so. And you're talking about other crimes they more have a tendency to do more so than other groups of people in this country. But yet they won't make label African people as being a criminal. Your response to that?
I think his observation is correct. You know, the fact that that most state legislatures were opposed to a breakdown by race of who was committing these crimes, because that would ruin the perception that that Africans commit the most crime, you know, in the U.S. And that is something they use to to make us hate ourselves and to disperse socializing among ourselves. So you know, this you know, his observation is very correct. And you know, and we have to fight for you know, just as we fought for everything else that we've gained in this society, you know, for that breakdown be done in terms of who commits the actual crimes in this society. And also, you know, we've got to teach each other the reality and not rely upon the perceptions presented by the mass media.
Thank you, Carla. You're listening to MPH Radio, your bi-weekly program under the Organization of Missing Pages of History. What we want to do is have critical dialogues and deal with issues and present history that would represent the underserved community, particularly the African communities throughout the world. We have discussion today based upon a presentation made on YouTube by Brother Franklin Jones. You get a chance, go and check out. It called Black People, It's Time to Wake Up and Learn the Truth. Check out, there are so many things you can get from it. And what we're going to do right now, we still have Brother Chris on us. Brother Chris, I know you may have a position, it may not be in the majority of what has been expressed so far, but in all fairness, Brother Chris, we're going to give you 2 minutes to make your final comments based upon what you have heard and what you want to say. We want to be fair and objective. Brother Chris, we're going to bring you back 2 minutes and your final response to this discussion. Brother Chris, are you there? Okay, we thought we'd get Brother, be fair, give Brother Chris a chance to respond back. But without reasons, we can't connect with him, so we're going to move forward. We'd like to thank everyone for their views and perspectives on this particular topic and theme today. What we're going to do right now, we're going to move on a message to the African community in the U.S. and we said throughout the world. We're going to take a station break with music with a message. And when we come back, we have a special guest. We're going to highlight a guest from the community. We're going to talk to Brother Reverend Donnell Green Jr. We're going to find out about who this brother is, what he's doing in the community, how we can support him, and he will be making one of our missing pages of history. We'll be right back. This is the voice of MPH Radio. This is Missing Pages of History. We'll be right back.
When I was pregnant in jail, I thought I was going to have a baby and the baby would never be with me, but I was acquitted a month and 3 days before Tupac was born. I was real happy because I had a son.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Said tears with my baby sister. Over the years we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who's thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whooping to my backside.
And even as a queen mama, you always was a black queen mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back, but the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama,
please, no one above you.
You all appreciate it. Nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy, cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they showed a young brother love, I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I'm hanging. I ain't guilty, cause even though I said it feels good putting money in your mailbox, I love paying rent when the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you, cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate, just working with the scraps you was given. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone, trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back, but my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Baby, don't you know we love you,
sweetie. And dear mama,
baby,
no one above you. You all appreciate it. Pour out some liquor and I reminisce, cause through the drama I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me, and all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. And there's no way I can pay you back, but my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama,
place no one above you.
You all appreciate it.
The plan is to show you that we understand. That's right. You listen to MPH Radio. Welcome back. We'll make our transition right now from the theme. We have a special guest, a guest from the community. From time to time, we do community profiles of different individuals who are trying to make a difference in our community. We are happy and proud to have with us right now our brother, Reverend Donnell Green Jr. We are proud to have him. We're going to bring him on right now and talk about the works of Brother Donnell, Reverend Donnell Green Jr., and how can we help him to help make us a better community. So right now, let's welcome Reverend Donnell Green Jr. to MPH Radio. Brother Donnell, welcome to MPH Radio.
Amen. And amen. Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. Man, I'm happy to be here today. I'm excited. I've been texting all my 300 team members. We are on a mission to change the world, and we can't do it without you. We need you. We need everybody. So I'm here today. Whatever you like, no, I'm ready to go.
Okay, Brother Donnell, what you can do right now, just get a little general background. You gave a sign in terms of who you are and talk about the nature of your mission, your church, a little more.
What are y'all doing in the community to help make the community better?
Not a problem. First off, my name is Pastor Donnell Green, Jr. I go by Pastor Don Jr., CEO. When I was 3 months, I was carried into a radio station. I was only supposed to have been there for 30 minutes and wind up staying for 3 hours. And that started my life. I have 300 winning team members. They all across the globe on all 7 continents. Everybody's doing a different brand, business, product, and or service. I am here to change the world. I'm working on the Winning Team Global Connections Tour. We're going to purchase 22 abandoned buildings. We're going to gut them with people within a 50-mile radius. We're going to get them jobs, give them opportunities. And all the businesses, people like OneOverHere.com and Betrayed Innocence, For the Future, all these businesses are all working together to change the world. The biggest thing that we need now is resources. We need people to come up, show out. We can't get nothing done if we don't tell people we need help. And we need help. We need you out there, the listeners. Get involved. Reach out to me directly. Call me directly. I'm always open and looking for more people to work with. My direct number is 352-363-1650. Once again, my direct number is 352-363-1650. I'm all about changing the world, but we can't change the world if we don't talk about what's going on. That's why I appreciate this broadcast and this radio platform for giving me an opportunity to speak on all the wonderful things we're doing.
Well, if I heard you correctly, you one of the things you're talking about buildings and homes and places where people can be and function. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're going to get 22 abandoned buildings and people within a 50-mile radius of that abandoned building. We're going to put them back to work. If so many people out here running around with degrees and they don't have any way to work in their field, so to be real and keep it real simple, we going to put these people out of work, back to work, and when people get jobs and they have resources for their families, they can open and change lives.
And this will be done in all over the world in different countries. What countries are you currently operating out of right now, Brother Pastor?
I'm operating out of America. I'm operating out of America right now, and I'm pulling up my tour list because we have 22 cities already picked out. I'm just pulling the list up so I can read off the list for you. That would help out a lot. Give me just one.
Yeah, I know.
I apologize.
I know in renovating buildings and stuff, you need to have resources to get the kind of materials and supplies to do this.
Yes, sir.
So how are you structured to get the material supplies as well as how do you find the workers? I know that can be very challenging.
Well, it's radio shows like this where people get involved, and it's not only the radio shows. Everybody has a different level of involvement. It's about putting it out there and letting the people tell me what they need, and then I connect the dots. I mean, it's very important for everybody to work together. We cannot make it if we don't work together.
Now, in terms of your operation, is a private operation or is it a non-profit, or what is the structure of your operation?
We are definitely non-profit. Yes, sir. We got the 501c3, we use Cash App, but we all about the people. I mean, at the end of everything, we're only as good as our last call. So we have to make sure that we're working together to bring forth this change. I'm pulling up the tour list right now. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you did say that earlier you're talking about creating products for your people. I understand that you might be working on some kind of record, something in the music industry. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, I want to get this out there so we all on the same page. These are the 21 cities we will be visiting, and it goes Las Vegas, Nevada, Baltimore, Maryland, Birmingham, Alabama, Cleveland, Ohio, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Detroit, Michigan, Hartford, Connecticut, Indianapolis, Indiana, Lansing, Michigan, Little Rock, Arkansas, Memphis, Tennessee, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, New Haven, Connecticut, Oakland, California, Rockford, Illinois, Springfield, Massachusetts, Springfield, Missouri, Stockton, California, St. Louis, Missouri, and Worcester, Massachusetts. Those 21 markets have the highest crime, highest violence, no media coverage. So those are the markets you want to focus on first. The reason why we're working together, everybody needs a second chance and a second opportunity. Not a handout, but a hand up. And the people within a 50-mile radius of these abandoned buildings we're going to purchase, you're going to give them jobs. And with this kind of money coming into the community, it's going to help everybody out. So, again, I need everybody under the sound of my voice, reach out to me. Call me direct. Because if you call me, I can tell you how you can fit in, where you can get in. I don't want to give it out on a blanket situation, but I have a plan. And my plan is going to work because people like you are listening, helping, and partaking in this information. My direct contact number is 352-363-1650. Once again, my direct contact number is 352-363-1650. I cannot stress enough how important it is to reach out to me. I need everything. I don't know what you do. I don't want to get into what you're not doing. I want to show you a way to help the world. That's what I'm about, world change.
Well, that's a very interesting and exciting project, possible, that you're working on. In terms of women participation,
Mother of the Church, we can't go anywhere without ladies. So we need everybody. I mean, from 5 to 55, I'm not turning down any resources. Everything counts. It's no big eyes. We got to make this happen.
Okay, Pastor Green, what we're going to do again, we're going to give you 3-4 minutes. You know, go ahead and any other things you need to say to share with our listening audience. Why they should come and support you, and again, what your project is all about. Take 5 minutes
okay.
And talk to the international community and the rest of the world. The stage is yours, brother.
All right. Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I've been around the entertainment industry for 45 years. I've seen people lose millions of dollars working in the wrong situation. I have a program, the Winning Team Global Connections Tour. We're working together to be effective with limited resources to bring change to the world. We cannot get anything done without help and assistance. We don't know what you need. I don't know what you need. Once you call me, I can tell you how you can fit in, but we need to have a personal conversation. I believe with a personal conversation, we can actually change the narrative that's going on in so many communities. And if we personally talk about it, and then we do it on a bullhorn situation, everybody can know what they need to focus on. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I approve this message. This is a campaign, and the whole reason why I'm doing this campaign, I'm running for president in 2024. I'm giving it to y'all first, right here. I'm bringing it to my brother and the whole radio community. Y'all are hearing it first, but when y'all start seeing the billboards, the advertisements, and y'all see the commercials and all that, it's going to become real. So while y'all have an opportunity, reach out to me, please. I go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If I miss your call, leave me a message. I'm all about the people. I cannot do it without you, and because of you, y'all making this possible for me. On that note, I land my plane.
Pastor Donnell, did I hear you correctly? You said you ran for president?
Yes,
sir. 2024?
Yes, sir.
All right, so
we got to get busy.
Give me your platform in terms of 2-3 major issues that can be your focal points on why people should support and vote for you.
I really feel education is a big issue in America. I feel that the poverty level after this pandemic, we're getting back to an economic crisis that we've never seen before on a history of man. So with that being said, I believe in putting in resources in the community. I want to build more schools. I want to build more parks and recreational activities. And I want to get kids into computers early. So when all this AI and this information is taken over, we are ahead of the game. So I don't want to complain about it. I'm not going to sit here on my soapbox. I want to actually be proactive in the community where people can talk to me, touch me, reach me 24 hours a day. Once again, my telephone number is 352-363-1650. Please call me. If you want to call and say hello, if you want to call and cuss me out, I don't care. Just call me. Let me know that I'm being with you. And that's it. I mean, that's our education.
And, and our school, you run on the independent ticket? You run as independent?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay, well, Pastor Donnell, we'd like to thank you for taking some time out and sharing with our listening audience on who you are and the work you're doing in our community to help improve our community. And if anything comes up, always just keep us in mind. We'll give you a platform where you can come and speak to the people. And we'd like to thank you for what you're doing to make this world a better place for all of us. We thank you.
Hey, and I thank you for what you're doing, too. And thank you for giving me the platform and letting me speak to your audience, brother. I appreciate you, and I will be in attendance more often.
And your number again, we didn't reach out to you. One more time for the listening audience.
352-363-1650. Once again, that's 352-363-1650.
And for those who are listening outside of the United States, that's a U.S. number. All right, my brother, Pastor, we thank you for joining
thank
us
you,
and
brother.
Helping us to fill in today's missing pages of history. We thank you. Well, you heard it. There's a brother out there, like many of us, who is trying to make their contribution to their communities and to humanity. If you have the skills, you have the time, you have the labor, give the brother a call and help him build his dream, build his intuition, which will benefit all of us. At this point in time, what we're going to do is take a quick station break, and when we come back, we'll make some public announcements concerning the MPH, and we have our final thoughts. This is MPH Radio. We'll be right back.
Always giving us a warning, you know.
Might be snakes there in the grass.
She was looking out.
Grandma's hey. Hey.
I remember them well.
Grandma's hands clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hands played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hands used to issue out a warning. She said, Gladys, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hands.
Look at here.
Grandma's hands through the low. Grandma's hands used to ache sometimes and swear. Grandma's hands used to lift her face and tell her, she'd say, baby, grandma, understand, got to really love that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hands.
Pay homage to one of its members. Over the years, her importance has been diminished, her image tarnished, but to me, she'll always be a rare jewel. I've heard her called by many loving nicknames. Nana, I, like millions of others, simply call her grandma.
Ain't nothing like grandma. Grandma's hand hit me up each time I fell. Grandma's hand, boy, they really came in handy. She say, baby, don't you whip that boy. What you wanna spank him for? He didn't drop no alcohol. I don't have grandma anymore. If I get to heaven, I'm a fool. Grandma's hand.
First day of July, 2023. Our topic today was a message to the African community in the U.S. and throughout the world, and it comes from Franklin Jones. If you get a chance, go to YouTube and check it out. What we'd like to do at this point in time, make a couple announcements. Before we make a couple of announcements, we have quite a few people that has been on our board for a while. We're not sure if you want to make a comment. If you'd like to make a comment based upon this program today, we're going to ask you right now to hit 1, and we'll give you a minute, 1-2 minutes to make your statement. If you'd like to make a comment, for those who's on my board, please hit 1, and we will allow you to participate in that capacity. Hit 1 now. Okay, we see everyone must just want to listen, and that is fine. We want to ask you to, first and foremost, the next program, Missing Pages of History, will be on the 15th of July, 1 p.m., same time, same station. We want you to spread the word, share the word with the rest of your supporters, friends, and network. We're asking you to help your audience. By the end of the next 6 months, we want to have an additional audience of over 100,000 people. And we can do that with your support, no more than just spreading the word and emailing our programs. If you'd like to have a copy of our program, just email us at mphradio@yahoo.com. You send your copy of the program, you can share with your network. If you can do that for us, that would be a great victory. Also, we'd like to remind you, if you want to contribute and make a donation and give a gift to this radio station and the work that we are doing, you can do that several ways. You can send a check or money order to Missing Pages of History, Inc., P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. Again, the Missing Pages of History, Inc., P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261, USA. Or if you have access to Zelle, you can send it to Missing Pages of History 1@yahoo.com, all spelled together, Missing Pages of History 1@yahoo.com. If those methods are not available to you, please email us and we will work with you and find another way of how you can make your contribution. We greatly would thank you. For those who live in the Richmond, Virginia metropolitan area, we would like to remind you that we have a weekly program, television program that comes on now. We're doing documentaries in old schools or MPH history. We review these programs every weekend, Monday, Saturday, and Sundays at 1 a.m. That's right.
every Friday, Saturday, and Sundays at 1 a.m. You can view some of our best programs that we have ever produced on Comcast Cablevision on Channel 95 or Verizon Channel 26. Comcast Cablevision, Channel 95 or Verizon Cable, Channel 26. Check out and support Missing Pages of History TV. And last and not least, we are open to supporters, friends, contributors, and membership to help us build this institution. If you'd like to do that and want to know how, email us at mphradio@yahoo.com. So those are some of our announcements. And at this point in time, what we're going to do is close this program out by going back to my co-host, Brother Alex, ask him for a few closing words, and then we'll close out. This has been Missing Pages of History. Brother Alex, your final thoughts for today. Brother Alex.
Well, again, Mr. Lee, as I told you in the opening, we would hear some things today that we'd never hear before on Missing Pages of History. And I guess you proved me right, brother, without a doubt. We had someone who decided to announce for the presidency of the United States. And I'm so glad to wish this young man, you know, all the support, you know, that I can give him. And the reason why, because we need every opinion, you know, running for office. Dr. West, if I don't know how many know, is also running for office. And there are others who are running for office. They will not get a platform. They won't, you know, maybe get all the commercials to all the states. They won't be all on all the ballots and everything. But it's important to know a person's platform and what they stand for, because their ideas can be absorbed maybe by other members and taken on by the nominee. And if that nominee apply some of those good points that were made, then just maybe, we can look forward to a brighter day in America, because that's what it takes. It takes good ideas, not assumptions, not hope and fantasy, but it takes good cooperation between the members of Congress. It takes good cooperation with the president. It takes good cooperation with the Supreme Court to know that we all should be equal, not just under the Constitution, but we all should be equal under God's eyes if we believe in God. And for those who don't believe in God, we still should be equal, because that's the morality and the humanity of man himself. Not one to be better than the other, but one to support and help each other, to encourage each other, to love each other, to do better for each other. But when man breaks his own moral law, his own consciousness of right and wrong, and delivering the law justly and honestly, is ruined by wealth, greed, and lust, and many other things. And I just would like to reflect back to what Dr. King was saying. Because in one of his major statements about the Poor People's March, you know, he wanted to go back to D.C. to pick up a check that America owed the colored folks, the Negroes, the African Americans, the colored, whatever you want to call them. He was going to D.C. to get that check. So it is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note, insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given its colored people a bad check. A check that has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we have come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and security of justice. We have come also to his hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is not a time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drugs of gratulation. Now is the time to make real the promise of democracy. Now it is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valleys of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to remind justice a reality to all of God's children. I would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment and underestimate the determination of its colored. The sweltering summer of the colored people's legitimate discount would not pass until there's an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hoped the colored Americans needed to blow off steam and will not be content will have a rude awakening of this nation as it returns to business as usual. This will be neither our nor tranquility in America until the colored citizen is granted his citizenship's right. And for anybody who don't understand Dr. King and what he was trying to say about America, America turned its back on the colored people, the African Americans in America. It is no more status quo and look the other way. We want justice, equality, freedom. We want liberty. All the promises that all the other races have enjoyed. But for some today to sweep all that away and say it didn't exist, that things are better now, have no idea of what reality is all about. And I thank you, listeners, today for a just wonderful show. And I thank you, Mr. Lee, for giving me an opportunity to express the way Dr. King felt about this country owing us a check. And I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Alan, for your contribution to today's program. We'd like to thank Pastor Green for his contribution to our program. And we'd like to thank all of our participants, our supporters, and this audience for your contribution to this program. And we also would like to acknowledge and we apologize for not having our guest on today from France, our sister Wench Grantley. She's a journalist, she's an author, and a singer. We were scheduled to have her, but due to illness, she has not been able to participate on this program, but we hope sometime in the future we will have a chance to bring it on from France. But until next time, remember our next program on 15 and 1 p.m. We are making a call for your support. You can do that by making a donation to Missing Pages of History, Inc., P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261, or you can zell us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. Remember, whenever there's economic dependency,
there can be no freedom. So help build this institution, MPH Radio. Help us by making a donation. But more importantly, come and join us and make this institution become a part of you. We welcome you for allowing us to fill in this missing pages of history as it relates to a message to the African community in the U.S. and world from Brother Franklin Jones. And we're going to end this program with this message again for those who have missed it and have not heard it. So we see you on 15. Let's continue to strive to go forward, ever, backward, never, and continue to fill in our missing pages of history. And here's Brother Jones' message. And he said, Africans in the U.S. and the world, you must wake up. This is his message.
Hello, it's Franklin Jones again, the author of The Black Matrix. You know, I sincerely believe that the information that I'm trying to spread is the most shadow banned and deleted content on white media platforms, because it's the truth that we're not supposed to talk about. It's the truth that our oppressors don't want us to know. They want to keep our minds believing in things like biblical fairy tales and a silly slayer syndrome myth. And they want to keep our minds in those directions, believe in those things, because those things keep our understanding of our plight and condition flawed. If our understandings are flawed, then all liberating remedies that stem from those misunderstandings will also be flawed. That's why they want us to believe all those falsehoods. Usually people have a right to believe whatever they choose to believe. However, there's a profound exception to this rule when it comes to the oppressed. The oppressed must gain a clear, concise, and accurate understanding of their plight and condition in order to liberate themselves. Because if our understandings are flawed, then all liberating remedies that stem from those misunderstandings will also be flawed. By keeping us believing that our plight is connected to a Bible written by our most ungodliest enemies, it keeps our minds buried in a Bible waiting on a fictional Jesus to come save us to the benefit of system white supremacy. By believing that our conditions will result of a silly slave syndrome, this keeps us believing that there's something inherently wrong with us, which also benefits the system of white supremacy. The truth of our plight and condition is directly connected to the white society's monopoly over information that we receive. Their greatest power over us is the fact that they create the narratives that we believe. And they distort those narratives to keep us thinking and behaving in ways that serves and benefits the white society. It's in fact truly how they mentally enslave us. And those of us who do not critically think never notices our mental change. Case in point, many black people now insist to believe the version of slavery as taught by the white society, that most of our enslaved ancestors were fairly purchased. Now, this is designed to make us view the white society's enslavement of us as being less immoral, and it shifts the blame of slavery more greatly upon Africans. And this also adds to the narrative that we are our own worst enemies. It was the wretchedness of our blackness that enslaved us because our own people sold us off. But critically think, during slavery, Africans had all the gold, all the diamonds, all the minerals, all the natural resources. And Western money had no value whatsoever in Africa. In fact, the West had nothing that Africans needed. So what then did the white society use to purchase the majority of the slaves? If you believe the majority of the slaves was sold away, how did they purchase those millions of Africans? And why wouldn't they exploit their weaponry advantage of guns and cannons to maximize their profit by stealing most of the Africans? Yes, there were Africans who participated in the slave trade. But the majority who did so, they realized they could not
their weaponry, they couldn't overcome the white society's weaponry advance of guns and cannons. The white society got gunpowder from the Chinese and weaponized it, and they used that weapon, those weaponized weapons against the Africans. So there were Africans who said, okay, you leave our tribe alone and we will help you get the other Africans that we captured. And that's how the Africans' participation in the slave trade was. But we've been given a version that places the blame more greatly upon Africans. The white society constantly gives us misinformation that is designed to make us think in ways that serve the white society. In our schools, even now, today, we are taught nothing about our history prior to slavery. And the white society justifies by saying that it's because we have no history prior to slavery, because we were illiterate and uncivilized. This makes us feel indebted to the white society for enslaving our ancestors. This makes us feel grateful for our enslavement. But the hidden reality is completely opposite. In Africa, the oldest universities in Africa, the oldest encyclopedia, the oldest writings, the oldest mathematical tools, the oldest human prosthetics, the oldest man-made structures are in Africa. The oldest standing kingdom exists in Africa. Africans were the first to build in stone, the first to smelt metal. Africans civilized Europeans, including introducing the daily bag to Europeans. But see, most of us don't know this because we're giving a version, we're giving false narratives that are designed to manipulate us to think in ways that serve the white society. Regardless of how intelligent people are, if it's possible to control the information that are fed into their mind, it's entirely possible to control what they believe. The white society exploits their monopoly over information that black people receive to manipulate us to think in ways that benefit the white society. They deter us from even demanding our reparation that we're still owed. Okay? Now, we are owed reparation. After the Japanese were placed in internment camps, when they were released, they were given reparation. After slavery was abolished, the white enslavers were given reparation. After the Jewish Holocaust ended, the Jews were given reparation. The Germans were ordered to pay millions of dollars to them. And the UN and America also supports the Jewish. But no reparation went to black people. So they said, okay, how do they control us more? They have us believing, many of us believe that we are the dregs of the white society. They keep us believing that we commit most crimes. We are the large recipients of welfare. We are the largest ones to get on affirmative actions. Those are false narratives, but that makes us more compliant with white dominance over our lives. It utilizes the immense power that shame has upon the human mind to mentally enslave black people. The reality is this. Most crimes in the U.S. are committed by white people. During the administration of Barack Obama, he tried to have it, made it a law that all states had to provide crime by race. The Republicans stopped it. Now, right now, crime by race is we only get it from the feds. And when you look at the feds, you will see that most crimes are committed by whites. Now, why is it that the Republicans and all the other states refused to follow what Obama was saying? Obama wanted to create this law where we could see breakdown by race of who was committing crimes. And the white society said no. They said no because if the truth became known, then it would go against their narrative that black people commit most crimes. They marginalize our image, criminalize our image because it aids them. It creates the facility that aids maintaining their white dominance. Most violent crimes in America are committed by Caucasians. Caucasians are also more likely than any other group to commit the acts of matricide and patricide. That's the killing of their parents. Caucasians are also more likely than any other race to kill a family member for financial gain. Caucasians are also more likely than other groups to engage in incest and pedophilia than any other groups. But we never hear these narratives. when people see Caucasians, you think of them as being more morally upright, and blacks as being morally low and more deviant. That's because our society is not functioned based upon a reality or facts. It functions based upon the narratives. And the white society feeds false narratives into our society. There are black people in America who has never heard, never has they heard a single positive narrative about themselves. Because keeping us believing the fraudulent worst about ourselves is how you maintain dominance over people. You maintain dominance by keeping the people believe that we are the dregs of society. We don't know our true contributions. We don't know that most inventions that have revolutionized the world were either invented by a black person or were inspired by early invention by black people. Most black people don't know that without black people, we wouldn't have skyscrapers. We only have skyscrapers because African Americans invented the elevator, the air conditioning, and the central heating. We wouldn't have cell phones if it wasn't for the invention of a black person. We wouldn't have the camera on the cell phone or the speaker black on a cell phone if it wasn't for a black inventor. We wouldn't have the internet if it wasn't for Nigerian scientists who developed a supercomputer that allows us to go back and forth on large computers to communicate at the same time. Most people don't know this. We wouldn't have GPS if it was not for a black woman. People are totally clueless about true narratives. The white society keeps our narrative negative because it affects us. So by keeping our narratives negative and then marginalizing our media images and then having us call ourselves niggers, we're being conditioned to see ourselves through a fraudulent, marginalized identity that aids the white society in maintaining their social dominance over us. This is the truth of our plight and condition. They're using social sciences against us. Although we do not face the type of white racism that our grandparents experienced, we're still experiencing white racism. When the blatant tactics used in the past to maintain their dominance over black people became morally unacceptable and resulted in unprecedented unified black protests, they now hire social scientists. They have you thinking that our greatest threat are the skinheads, their greatest threat is the KKK. No. Our greatest threat are the social scientists and the propagandists who works behind the scene unrelentingly manipulating our minds to think in ways that serve the white society. They marginalize our image. They criminalize our image to manufacture societal consent for the mistreatment of us. They use the rap industry to negatively steer our culture. They negatively steer our culture while making us believe we are steering ourselves. Think! Our race has become synonymous with vulgarity. Our music, we say derogatory words. Our women are saying derogatory words. Pictures and holes and F and this and screw and that. Because we don't control our media images. We don't control our music. The white oppressors does. They determine what goes on the airwaves. They control and our lyrics are supposed to always fit into certain narratives. Narratives that serve the system of white supremacy. And these narratives shape society in ways that benefit the white society and exalts the white society and criminalize and marginalize black people. Through their monopoly over information, they condition millions of us to perceive ourselves through a false inferior identity. I went into schools talking, to high schools talking to students. I remember in high school, black students in the back of classes, man, come on, man, you know us niggas can't build rockets. You know us niggas. We have a perception of ourselves, and this perception of ourselves is a marginalized one, and it's continually being fed into our minds every day. Many of us know that we are learning more racially affirming facts from each other than we do in the school. But most of us don't understand that's a social science. Because in order for a dominant group to maintain their position of social dominance over a subordinate population, they must condition them to accept their subordinate status. And this is achieved by denying the subordinate group of racially affirming information about themselves. We are being denied racially affirming facts about ourselves because it conditions us to accept the white society's dominance over our lives. Social scientists describe the process as instilling a value system into the collective minds of black people that makes us more compliant with white dominance over our lives. Look, there's nothing normal about calling ourselves niggas and bitches. There's nothing normal about sagging our pants. There's nothing normal about any of this. But we've normalized it. And our problem is we don't have any true leaders anymore. So therefore, there's no voice speaking out against the negative social engineering of our culture. We don't have leaders anymore. Remember, after the assassination of Malcolm X and Dr. King, J. Edgar Hoover says the only time there will be another black messiah if we create them, if they create them. So now they handpick their leaders. And the way they are all leaders. And these leaders work for their white society. When they control who is our leaders by giving national platforms to only those that are willing to work with the white society, that are following the rules of the white society. When they find those who are truly speaking liberation, like I'm speaking to you now, they will never give me a national platform. My videos will never go viral because there is a deliberate effort to subdue true liberating information. But we must realize, we must recognize the truth of our plight and condition. We must do it. Every generation has its purpose. Ours is to wake up. The freedom minds of our people. Brothers and sisters, it's time to start understanding we are being socially engineered through the white society's monopoly over information. They constantly give us negative information about ourselves and white exotic information about themselves. And this makes us, on a subconscious level, it makes many of us feel subservient towards whites. Think. Critically think. Have you noticed that every study results we hear favors whites over blacks? Do you not see how cartoonishly unrealistic it actually is? To have study results so one-sidedly favoring one group over another, as we experience it favoring whites over us, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's fraudulent propaganda. Through repetition, it affects how we perceive ourselves. It affects how we perceive whites. It aids them maintain their social dominance. It's by design that many black people find it easier to yell at one of their own than to yell at a white person. To hit one of their own, to hit a white person. We are being socially engineered. It's happening through in the education we're taught, the media we watch, even the movies and TV shows we watch when we think we're just being entertained. We must start understanding social science. Everything I'm saying to you, black social scientists can confirm this, but they don't. They sit quiet because they have their good jobs, you know, their good jobs are well paid, and they don't talk about it. But everything I'm telling to you is a true social science. We are being manipulated to think in ways that serve to protect the system of white supremacy. The reason why many black people think favorably of whites and negatively of ourselves is because our collective aggressions have been shifted from the white society and redirected against ourselves. It's how the white society prevents us from unifying against the white society. Think about it. Every narrative that a black woman hears about a black man is negative, and they all come from white men. Every negative. They've in fact manipulated black women to believe that black men are running in droves to marry white women. This is how they demoralize black women and make black women resentful towards black men. But if you look at the statistic, you look at the U.S. Census, found that 86.5% of black men are married to black women. 90% of black men date black women. Only 7% of black men in America are married to white women. Only 7%. But you are functioning based upon the fraudulent narratives, the fraudulent propaganda, what the media shows you, because the media shapes our value. It shapes our perception of the world. And it distorts our perception because keeping us believing negatively of ourselves is how they maintain their dominance. They condition us to believe that there's a shortage of black-on-black love when the majority of black people love each other. The census shows in America, 91% of black women are married to black men. Only 4% have white husbands. But when you see things in the media, you've been made to believe that we're running a drove to marry whites. See, the way you divide people is by instilling propaganda in their mind, telling them that they're most divided. They then start functioning based upon those narratives, thus making it true. This is called the prophecy of the method. You keep saying something and we make it true. It can even be used in the reverse. If you have a group of people who are very divided and you keep putting out propaganda that they're the most united, the most united, the most united, they will start functioning based upon a narrative. They'll start being more friendlier. People function based upon a narrative received about themselves. The white society keeps us believing that we're the most divided, we're the worst, we're our worst enemies. And it's how they control us. We walk into a room, we see another black person, we remain mugging. Because they have conditioned us to perceive ourselves through a false identity that benefits themselves. Until you wake up to this reality, above a biblical fairy tale, a Bible written by our enemies will never set us free. A Bible brutally beaten into the minds of our ancestors will never provide our salvation. A Bible written by history's most ungodliest people is inherently disqualified from the true words of God. A Bible that condones slavery is disqualified from being the true words of God. Wake up and critically think. We have to start recognizing that the white society uses social sciences against us for maintaining their dominance over us. We must learn these social sciences and develop counter strategies against them. Their greatest power is their monopoly over our minds. They start brainwashing us from the time our minds are young during our early education development. It continues from pre-K all the way to 12th grade. After we graduate, we're constantly being bombarded with propaganda in the movies, TV. We keep being told we're less than them, we're worse than them, and we're our own worst enemy. And we therefore need them to govern over our lives. They always tell us we're in a crisis. Black people are in some kind of crisis. We're trying to save black people. Even their narrative for being in Africa, they have many people believe that the reason why the Western society are so invested in Africa is because Africans can't govern themselves, and they're here trying to save the Africans. They're trying to save the pitiful Africans. When in reality, they're in Africa to protect the interests of Western society, because the Western society cannot survive 2 years without Africa's natural resources. Your cell phones and your laptops won't work without the minerals that comes from Africa. The white society is there, but they always create a narrative that exalts and exonerates themselves, that serves their interests. So you have these, that's why you have these poor white trash who say, go back to Africa. They don't know the truth. The white masses are ignorant of the true social engineering of the ruling white elites. Our collective minds are shaped by a small group of people. That's why the ruling elites are so angry with the internet. Because the internet allows different opinions, different narratives. Brothers and sisters, we must function based upon truth. And the truth of our planet condition is something that we've been conditioned to reject. But don't dispute facts you don't understand for lies you've been misled to believe. Because doing so will keep you mentally enslaved by the white society. It's time to elevate our minds. It's time to start recognizing that there's a war being waged against us, a covert war being waged against us. And a war so effective, and it manipulates our minds so much that many of us are participating in the war. One love and peace.
There's a new African in the world. That new African is ready to fight his own battle, and after all, the black man is capable of managing his own
affairs. I and God King sat up on the throne of Ethiopia. To the remarkable Bahadur Tuasuma. Salam Naju. Greetings, Black Rasta Lanza Jamba.
With 400 years, 100 millions and many more. We were back like fish in a cannon shifted on Guinea shore. They took black magic and Ashanti's golden stool. Oh yes, we work the plantations and never get no pay. It's a full time no, we set to the score. Yes, a full time no, black people should know. Africa, you're not a yeti. Africa, you're not a yeti. Mama Africa, you're not a yeti. Africa, you're not a yeti. You see, a nation without any mystery is like a tree without roots. That kind of tree could never bear no fruit. Mama Africa, before we dance abroad, we got to learn to dance a yard. Divide and rule could only tear us apart. The time has come for I and I to I night. Hakuna Matata, make me stop all the fight. Been through the struggle and washed down the drain. So much agony and so much pain. Oh, children sing, you're not a yeti. Mama Africa, you're not a yeti. Africa, you're not a yeti. Africa, you're not a yeti.
Yo, as a people,
We must live in peace and harmony. The wicked PFS man runs like the rank and file with anarchy. Papa was slaughtered like a goat in a butchery. Mama was raped like a whore in total misery. Boomaye, boomaya. Boomaye, boomaya. Chase them out cause them too filthy. Mabrak, 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 mabrak. Strike them out just like them cause of blasphemy. Them desecrated the holy lands at Timbuktu, Lalibela. Doody, gaga, gaga, doody. Chase them out, out of doody, gaga, gaga, doody, doody, gaga. Gaga, doody, doody, gaga, gaga, doody.
Africa, you're not a yeti. Africa, you're not a yeti. Africa, you're not a yeti.
Yo, Rasta, now they're back again. Anchor, Missy Wangwano, now our Biomo. In Africa, we sit on gold, yet we never gain. Yeah, man, we sit on diamond, yet we go through pain. Dirty Chinese man thief with diamond, gold and tin, and ugly laugh and drink champagne. Our misleaders, who say them we leaders, ugly bitches we and feel no shame. African people are eating more Chinese food now than Chobo Dumb Plantain. Chinese man gone down with indigenous, just like them going insane. Everywhere you go now, black people person as cheap Chinese imitation like sugar cane. No wonder now, the churches in Africa sing Chinese hymns and higher octave.
Africa, you're not a yeti. Africa, you're not a yeti. Africa, you're not a yeti. Oh yeah,
for the Nabella to Lalibela.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Zimbabwe to Sweet Zambezi.
Oh yeah,
can't forget about you, Hickory, sorry,
together.
could love each other, sister, we are here. We are here for all of us. We are here for all of us. That's why we are here. Why we are here.
Here.